will you breathe upon this poor servant. Thou hast chosen the weak to confound the strong. Thou hast chosen those that are not to confound those that are. Lord, bless tonight and thank you for it. Amen. You found the place, Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. Paul is in jail over in Rome, and he's telling his people about the beloved people at Philippi, where he'd been before and where he'd been in jail and then delivered. But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ in even of envy and strife, and some also goodwill. One preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. Paul's in jail. Poor old Paul. Hard time. Well, these last days, Paul came to a tent. You can't have revival now. Everything's against you. This is a hard place in Rome, center of the world. World, center of the world, heathen religion too. And besides that, you're in jail. Man keeps you one guard there, and you all you can see is the Praetorian guard, and they can let you get out here on the street and stay with you and so on. No. No hard time for Paul. Everywhere with Paul is a good place to preach. There weren't any hard times when a man's in the will of God. Paul had already written to Rome in Romans 15:29 and said, I'm sure when I come to you, I'll come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Sure enough, in jail and preaching all the time. If it's in the first imprisonment, he was in his own hired house with a soldier to guard him, and evidently had chains on him, said these bonds. In 2 Timothy 1:16, Paul said to a certain man, he was not ashamed of my chains. Old Paul, with a chain clanking on him and a soldier standing by to guard him and take him back to his place, and he preached out everywhere. And when he wrote this book and finished it up, he said, they of the household of faith, all these Christians, they send you greetings, especially they of the household of Caesar. What do you mean? Praetorian Guard, the Capitol Guard, those men that are keeping them. A lot of them got saved, they say. And Paul, when you write back to Philippi, tell them we love them. We're so glad that you came to preach to us. And so they sent greetings too. Paul's a prisoner in jail, but a great preacher. He's not down in the mouth. He's not whipped. What a lesson this is for preachers anywhere. Well, so Paul preached, and some of the other fellows said, I'd be afraid to preach, but if Paul can do it, and him, the chains on him, and the soldier to guard him, and got to march him back and lock him up at night, well, if Paul can preach, I can too. And so they set out to preach. And said, that's old Paul. He's given me courage. I'm going to preach it too. And so they did, all over the town. And not only, he said, in the palace, but in all places. Boy, they heard the gospel of Paul. Every time Paul heard me, he said, glory to God. Other folks preaching it too. But wait a minute. Not only those good Christians, not only those timid fellows got some boldness, not only young preacher boys. You know, when somebody's preaching in the fire of God's own, somebody else catches it. Yes, if brother found one preacher here in the fire of God, so many fellows going out to the jail and going out to other churches and so on. And so they did, but that wasn't all. If somebody said, that big shot Paul, everybody thinks he's hot. I don't think he's hot. I'm preaching good as he can. Well, he had better cry. I don't care. There must be some kind of gimmick. He's just giving out all these suckers or something else to the people. And so he gets all these gimmicks together. Yeah, but I'm going to preach too, they said. I'm just going to preach with Paul. Some of envy and some of strife and some hoping it make Paul mad. And they preach the gospel. And Paul said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm just saying everywhere. So it was a gospel business. And Paul rejoiced because these people, his enemies, and some of them are not in favor of Paul at all. Well, some of these people preaching the gospel, Paul said, isn't that wonderful? I'm so glad these people are preaching the gospel. Now consider, will you, first of all, this, that with Paul, the furtherance of the gospel is the main thing. The furtherance of the gospel. He said, what happened in jail? His bond. Praise the Lord. I get more people preach the gospel because the old Paul out here preaching with chains on him. And isn't that wonderful, Paul? Praise the Lord. I rejoice that the gospel is preached. The furtherance of the gospel. That was first with Paul, and that's what he's talking about now. The first thing. All right, so then here's some people who don't agree with Paul and everything, and they're preaching too. Isn't that a strange thing? And so some preach the gospel, then there's strife, and Paul was glad. That's right. There's some of preachers without any intent to please Paul or said, I don't believe in him. It may be that some of them didn't agree with Paul's doctrine. It wouldn't be surprising if people differed with Paul. They did, you know. Don't you remember over in Galatia, he preached the gospel and got so many people saved? Come in, some people did. And then got them and said, you got to be circumcised. You got to keep the Jewish Sabbath. You got to keep the ceremonial law if you're going to be saved, and so on. Some differ. You remember at Corinth, that said, some of them said, well, you like Paul. I like Peter. That old blockbuster. He's my preacher. Some said, no, it's Apollos. Oh, he's mighty in the scriptures. Apollos is the one I like, and some like Paul. And some said, to hell with all the preachers. I'm just for Jesus Christ. And so they had division and strife, you know. And so didn't all agree with Paul, but they preached the gospel. Paul heard it. He said, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Preaching the gospel. Souls are saved. Paul said, even Paul glad when folks that weren't the right kind and weren't on his side and weren't as separated as he was, when they preached the gospel, did Paul like it? Yes, Paul said, praise the Lord. I can just see him shaking those old chains and said, praise the Lord. He got out the gospel. Brilliance of the gospel. That's what I want. So glad anybody preached the gospel. Are you? Are you? Are you glad Oral Roberts preaching the gospel? Are you glad Billy Graham preaches the gospel? Are you glad that Pentecostal people who talk in tongues preach the gospel? No? Well, Paul evidently was. He just was glad about that. Yeah, so when Paul heard it, Paul said, praise the Lord, preaching the gospel. Let's see, somebody told Paul, somebody said, about Paul said, Paul, you know what, there's some of these, you evangelicals preaching the gospel. Well, what's the matter? Well, they're in major denominations and they don't come out like they ought to. Well, but Paul said, they preach the gospel, they get people saved. Yes, they preach the blood of Jesus and get people saved. They say they are, and so on. Well, Paul said, praise the Lord, that should be all right then. I'm glad of that. Praise the Lord. And somebody else came and said, Paul, you know, over at Corinth, all those tongues people you got after in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, some of those got over here too, and some of them preaching the gospel. And Paul said, to believe the Bible? Yes, sir. And to get people saved? Yes, said Paul, they preach the blood. And get, oh, I'm making pretty noisy about it and hollering around a little bit and holding their hands. But to get people saved, Paul said, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. You think so? Huh? Yeah. When Paul heard, they said, I'm preaching the gospel. And some people said, well, I don't believe Paul's all he ought to be anyway, and so I don't agree with him or anything. But they preached the gospel, and somebody said, now listen, let's show that old guy. Let's get a bigger crowd than he does, and let's get out here. And so someone preached the gospel in pretense. Paul said, in pretense? Well, that's too bad. But do they get anybody saved? Do they preach the gospel among these heathen Mormons? They're getting people saved? And yes, they preach the gospel. Praise the Lord, Paul said. That's wonderful. I rejoice in that. The further of the gospel. That's the main thing. You see that? So it was with evident with Paul. When others brought strife and so on, he did. Now, Paul preached, he was sound in doctrine. He preached against the pulse of Christians. He didn't compromise. Oh, no. Oh, boy, how sharp he was on the gospel. And he wrote over to the people of Galatia and said, if any kind of come to you and preach another gospel than I preach to you, he said, let him be accursed. Wait a minute. He said, if I preach so much, and if an angel from heaven come and preach any other gospel, let him be damned and cursed in hell if he doesn't preach the same gospel. Oh, Paul's strong in the gospel, you know. If Paul said, let him be accursed. And Paul brought him out over Corinth by the divisions, and because they got drunk at the Lord's Supper, and because they had a man living in sin with his mother-in-law, and because they went to law with one another, and because they all divided up over the dietary rules. Some were health status, and some said they won't have anything to do with that. And some of them said, well, I don't believe in observing Easter and Christmas, and they fussed over that. And Paul said, Paul straightened them out. But Paul still was glad that anybody preached the gospel. Are you? Are you? Ah, yes, sir. And so Paul was glad and rejoiced about that. Oh, I'm for preaching the gospel. I don't think anybody who knows me and knows the sort of the Lord, any of this last 4 to 4 years would say I haven't preached it plain and sharp and denouncing. And I'm a little sad about this. Sometimes people read that and not enough people cracking down on sin, so I've got to take the place of some of you lazy bones and cowardly preachers that don't do it. And so everybody thinks I'm a hell raiser and I don't love anybody and so on. I'm sorry about that, but I'll tell you the truth is, I'm going to stand true. If I lose the last friend in the world, I'm going to stand true. But you can do that and love Christians, can't you? You can do that and defend the gospel preached, can't you? You can defend the faith, but you can put soul in it first, can't you? Well, that's what Paul did. So Paul was faithful, but he still loved to hear the gospel preached and hear that people did it. That was good. No doubt the Apostle Paul was severely criticized because he loved people so much. Yeah, they said he's compromising. Yep. You know what Paul did? They said he went down there to Jerusalem in the 16th chapter, 15th chapter of Acts. He went there with all those Judaizers, said you got to get circumcised, you got to do that. And Paul said, I'm right proud right there then.
You mean he did?
Yes, sir, he did. Yeah. So somebody criticized him. Yes, sir. And Dr. Bones said about him, this fellow, you know what he did? He said, I'm a Pharisee. Yes, sir, right there in the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, got in the middle of that crowd and said, I'm a Pharisee. You know that? And the Pharisees, that's a bunch of unsaved Jews and legalizers and so on. But Paul said that. Yes, sir. Oh, we can't run with him, they said. We're going to have to ostracize him. And Dr. Cider Vinegar, I guess was, he said, I hear that those tongues people from Corinth said they want Paul to go with them for a big revival campaign in Cairo. What do you think about that, running with that crowd? Oh, he didn't say it. Oh, but you might be like him, you know. So, well, he criticized him because he loves these people too much. Isn't that too bad? And somebody else said, well, that isn't all. He's right here with all these heathen idols in Rome. And right around here, preachers in this crowd get a lot of those. And even those soldiers in the Praetorian Guard and taking care of Caesar, he preaches to them, buddies with them. What do you think of that? Yeah? Yes, they criticized Paul, but Paul loved the word and was glad the gospel preached. Are you glad when the gospel is preached? Are you? Are you glad when the gospel is preached? Now, it's a good thing to be faithful in defending the faith. But that's not much good unless you get people saved, you know. Go on, let's see now. Satan would have us, if we don't watch out, have us forget that the furtherance of the gospel is the one thing first to God and first to Paul. You know, that furtherance of the gospel. Paul said, this turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. I'm glad to be in jail. I'm glad to have these chains on my hands and my ankles. If I get the gospel out, more people are preaching it. And some people don't love me, and some of them hate me and think I'm making me mad, but I'm glad they're preaching the gospel, Paul said. Are you that way? Wouldn't that be a good idea? You know, it's so easy to forget, then we draw the line wrong. And there was James and John, they were out and one day, and they saw some fellows casting out devils. And they said, what are you doing here? We're casting out devils in the name of Jesus. Well, are you with us? No, I'm not your part of it. Well, cut it out. You can't be casting out devils. We don't want you to have anything to do with that. You're not of our crowd. They came back and said, Jesus, I tell you, we're true fundamentalists. We're not pseudo-fundamentalists. We're not, no, sir, we're the true kind. And we saw people casting out devils, and we told them, cut it out. You're not in our crowd. Following us, you can't do it. And Jesus said, don't tell them that. That's not right. He said, if they're not against us, they're for us. As far as that concerns, Jesus said, I'm glad anybody casting out devils. What did you mean? Are you not? You say you are, but are you really? You're for anybody casting out devils, or you like, stop everybody, don't belong to your crowd. So Paul, Jesus said, sir, now, I'm saying it's so easy for us to get that way about us, you know, where we get a bit of separating from good Christians that we never mind about the devil's crowd. No time to tend to the moderates and the wicked. No time to call old sinners to repentance and get drunkards and harlots and infidels saved. It's a business defending the faith, you know, and so on. But now, you remember this, you just well face it, honestly. Soul winning is the one first thing with God. Now, put this thing down. Oh, somebody said, well, make soul winning excuse for running. No, don't need to make excuse for anything. Just put it first like God says in the Bible. 1 Timothy 1:15 tells how Paul understood it. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, and that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came for what? To save sinners. Oh, he did many other things too, but that's what he came for. And that's what Paul preaching too. Paul says, I came not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now wait, Paul, aren't you for baptism? Oh, yeah, Paul said, I get everybody to do whatever they can to get them baptized. But he said, the main thing, I came to preach the gospel, you know. Paul, don't you think that you ought to get that dependent faith? Oh, yes, Paul said, but didn't come for that. What had come is to preach the gospel. The Great Commission, Jesus gave and said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. What's he sent for, Paul? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Oh, it's to defend the faith, too, and tell these people to behave at the Lord's Supper, too, and tell them get away from that guy that's living in sin with his stepmother, too. Yeah, that's right, but Paul is preaching the gospel. That's the main thing. That's the main thing with God. Don't you remember Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And if you get anything else first, you're not a good Christian. You know that? Oh, if you do anything else, you're not a good Christian. The one thing Jesus died for, one thing the Great Commission's about, is to get people saved, the preaching of the gospel. You better put that down. You know that. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said to me one time about a famous man you know and I know, and a good man, my friend. And to a good man, Dr. Bob said, if we could get him to write a good sermon on soul winning for the sword, wouldn't that be good? And I said, sure will. I'll write and ask him. So I wrote to this good, noble man, a good, well-known, famous, and a good writer. And I said, will you write us a sermon for the sword of the Lord on soul winning? Yes, he wrote back, and he said it would. And he wrote a sermon on soul winning. And it started out like this. Now, he said, of course, the main thing the Lord wants us to do is to defend the faith, but we ought to be soul winners also. And I wrote back and said, no, sir, we ought not to be soul winners also. You ought to be soul winners first, then get as many other things in that's good as you can. And I couldn't publish it in the sword. No, sir, not soul winning also. Soul winning first! That's what Jesus died for. That's what the Great Commission's about. That's what Jesus came for. And Paul had that. So when he got the gospel out, Paul said, all right, these other guys, I'm sorry they're not right about everything else, but I'm sure glad they're getting the gospel out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether Paul put in Oral Roberts and the Pentecostalists and other folks too, and the five-point Calvinists and so on. I don't then know whether he did or not. If he did, he prayed for them, I'm sure, like I do. But Paul said, I'm glad to preach in the gospel. Praise the Lord. I rejoice. You ought not. I wouldn't want to put a stop or a hindrance on anybody that loves Jesus Christ and gets out the gospel. That's what Paul's saying here. Now, there's a great divide in the Bible. What's that great divide? It's saved and lost. Great divide, going to heaven, going to hell. Great divide, for the Lord, for the devil. You're your father the devil, Jesus said to certain Pharisees and elders. That's for God of the devil. Born again or not. That's where the Bible said all the commands about separation in the Bible here are about that matter of separate from the devil's crowd. Very simple. Somebody said, what's your stand? My stand is very simple. I'm for everybody, for Jesus Christ and the Bible. I'm against anybody that's against them. Yeah, that's right. I reserve the right to tell my friends if they don't do it all. There's some more of it you ought to do too. And here's a fellow sprinkles babies. I'm very free to tell him I don't find any sprinkling babies in the Bible, but if you get people saved, that's fine. As Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, again, he said it in my conference. He said, all right, he said, let's get them to heaven anyway if you can't get them in the tank. I'm for getting them baptized, but I'd rather see one people kept out of hell for a billion years than 1,000 people baptized. You better put first what God's putting first. That's get people saved. That's right. There's a great divide. It is true that sometimes there are people that go so far wrong, Christian people, that their influence is bad in the devil's side, and you have to disassociate to them. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, here's a man living in open fornication with his stepmother. And so the Lord, Paul said, now if anybody called a brother, and if he is in fornication and extortion and railing and drunkenness, then he said, put that some way apart from that fellow. That's all right. If a man lives an outward gross sin and lives like the devil's crowd, that's too bad. Oh, but most of the talk about separation of the Bible is separate from the devil's crowd and get into the people of God and rejoice that the gospel is preached. Oh, yes, sir. And but you notice here how strongly God pleads for peace among Christians. How strong, you remember in John 13, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he said, if I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And then he said, by this shall all men know you're my disciple if you have love one for another. Have love one for another. All Christians ought to love one another. You remember in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Lord said, if you have talk with the tongues of men and angels, he said, if you cause your body to be burned to Christ, if you give up everything and you've got faith to move mountains, never mind. You don't have brother love, it's nothing, he said. Nothing said. For he said, now abides faith, hope, and Christian love, charity, and the grace that he shared. Christian, what's this now? Faith? Oh, have faith to move mountains. There's not much room, brother love, brothers. Christians ought to love one another. And in Ephesians, the scripture says, now, he said, let no evil communications come out of your mouth. He said, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And Paul wrote to the people at Corinth and he said to them, oh, he said, I'm troubled about you. Divisions, divisions. One said, I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Cephas. He said, listen, we're all for the same Savior. And I didn't save him, Paul and Peter didn't save him, and Apollos didn't. So get together, division. He said, as long, in the third chapter, 1 Corinthians, as long as you have divisions, describe your carnal. You're baby Christians. I got to feed you on milk. You're not fit for meat yet. Too many baby Christians, you know, they're carnal. Divisions, that's a sign of it. That's a sign of a carnal nation among Christians. Too bad, isn't it? Love one another. And so in Ephesians, the scripture said that we're to strive for the unity of the Spirit. He said, you have one Lord. Let's change it. The wording is really, this is what it means. You have the same Lord, the same faith, the same Spirit, same God and Father, same baptism, he said. You mean I'm going to go to heaven with these people with the same Savior, same God, same hope, same, that's right, same kind of trust in Christ. It looks like anybody's going to get along with somebody who loves Jesus Christ. Don't you think so? How often Jesus stressed that. So in John chapter 10, Jesus said, other sheep have I which are not of this fold. He said, I must bring them and we'll have one fold and one shepherd. Do you like the Lord's other sheep? Well, I know you like the sheep at your house and your church and your crowd and the spit where you spit and so on and call names of folks you call names to. But do you love the Lord's other sheep? Love the Lord's other sheep. Do you love the Lord's Pentecostal sheep? Do you? Love the Lord. You know, Christians ought to love those that love the Lord. And what's your attitude? In 1 Corinthians 13, he said, this kind of Christian love, he said, thinks no evil, is not puffed up, he said, is not, it's easy to get along with, long suffering and gentle and so on. And, you know, a Christian ought not to be suspicious of everybody. A Christian ought not to say, well, I'm a good punimist. I approve it. I'm trying to block the minister of Jericho. Oh, well, if I can get him off there and make him stop preaching, I'd be a real fundamentalist. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't even be a good Christian. No. No, a Christian ought to love one another and not be suspicious of one another. A Christian ought not to think evil of others until they have to. Some years ago, about a great man of God, a Christian brother that I love very much, he said to me, did you know so-and-so happened and a certain man was found and, oh, it's out. He was in a hotel with a woman in a certain northern city and he told what city it was. And it's out now and the man's in disgrace. I said, I don't believe it. Well, he said, I know, but they told me they know. I said, I don't care. I don't believe it. And he said, why don't you believe it? I said, I don't want to believe it. I'm not going to believe it. And I didn't. And two or three months later, that same man came back to me and said, you know, that is a mistake. Said the fellow misunderstood about it, and it was not true at all. And so I said, praise the Lord. And I went off by myself, and I prayed. And I said, Lord, next time somebody slanders me, I wish you'd remember, Lord, I didn't believe it about that man. Yeah. Wouldn't it be good night if Christian people heard they think no evil, where they're not so quick to find fault, not so quick to imagine some wickedness. Christian people ought to love one another. How often the Bible tells it. What's Christian going to do then about this matter of fellowship with Christians? I don't mean the devil's crowd. I mean good Christians. I don't mean the moderns don't believe the Bible. I don't believe running with that crowd. I'm talking about good Christians. I'm talking about being born again, read the Bible, preach the gospel, want souls saved. I'm talking about that. What's going to do with those? Well, in Romans chapter 14, the scripture says, him that is weak in the faith. Mark, in the faith. That's a term often used in the New Testament. In the faith, that means certain assertions of the Christian doctrine. But a man's weak in the faith, he said, receive him, but not to doubtful disputations. You mean get along with the fellow? If he's not a very strong Christian, yeah. You mean if he's wrong on baptism? Yeah, if he's right on the blood and salvation, going to heaven, and if he don't make a fuss about it, yeah. You mean if he's wrong on tongues? Yeah, if he's right on the blood and salvation, getting people saved, if you don't make division and strife over it. Yeah. I had a revival campaign in Springfield, Missouri. A great four pole circus sent long across yonder. Oh, the great crowds came and had hundreds and hundreds saved. One night I had 26 Assembly of God preachers on the platform. They believed what I preached. They liked my kind of preaching. They'd glad to see people saved. They said, amen, I preach. They helped us get people saved. You don't like that? I do. I think the Lord liked it all right. I was in a revival campaign in Huntington, West Virginia, East Huntington High School. And we had many churches, all believed the Bible. swarm in some Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterian and other kinds in there. And one night a pilgrim holiness pastor came early, and I was outside. He pulled me off in a corner in the dark. And he said, "Brother Rice, I've got something for you." I think he gave me $3. He said, "I don't have much, but the Lord told me to give you something." He said, "You know, I've been so blessed with your preaching." He said, "Brother," and I was cracking down on sin. I said, "Cut out the motives." I said, "Start family altar." I said, "Get out here to winning souls." And so he said, "Brother Rice, I believe you're sanctified and don't know it. Go ahead and laugh. That's all right." I was preaching, he believed what I believed about it. He's glad the results people saved. I shook his hands and took the $3. They were precious to me. What's wrong with loving Christians? Huh? You say, "Well, you believe all he believed." No. No, I said it different from him. I think the way I said it was best. But then he got along all right. He just said, "So I was helping people get them clean and live and do right." That suited him all right. And now Christians ought to get along with Christians. You think not? So Dr. Bob Jones and I were together in a great citywide campaign in Chicago, in the arena in Chicago. And Dr. Paul Reed preached 6 days, Dr. Bob Jones 7 days. I had the last 15 days. Had some 2,700 professionals to pay. We had over, I think nearly 200 churches. Well, I mean Baptist and Swedish Covenant and every kind, except unbelievers. All of them believe the Bible. All of them believe my kind of preaching. And Dr. Bob Jones and so on. Don't you think Christians could get along, love each other, and ought to? I was up here in a revival campaign in an Ohio city, in good time, blessed time. An old man was there one time, his name was Cook. Oh, he was 80 some odd years old, and he called me to come to him this week. And he said, "Dr. Rice, go on preaching it." He said, "I grew up in London. I was converted on a Spurgeon. I was trained in his pastor's college." He said, "That's the kind of preaching he did. Keep on." He said, "You know, I have these union campaigns and cooperative campaigns." I remember when Spurgeon was the two Episcopal Anglican bishops and had a revival campaign. Well, he didn't believe in all the Anglicans. No, no, but he believed in Christ and the blood. You know, salvation, getting people saved. Now listen, do you believe this in the Bible for some reason? Did God say that's a good way to be glad when the gospel preached? You think that's a good pattern God's setting for us here? What are you going to do for him? Him that's weak in the faith, receive you. That same 14th chapter goes on and says, one man thinks it's all right to eat meat. Another fellow says, "No, sir, I'm a health food fattest, and I'm not going to eat anything but this special kind. I wouldn't eat meat for no, sir." Or what? All right. God bless the poor nuts. I'm for them. I'm here to starve to death. One time, San Pedro, California, citywide campaign, they put me in a home. Oh, they want to keep Brother Rice, and I've got a special room for him, and so on and so. And they starved me nearly to death, feeding me on substitutes for meat. I slip off and go down to a hamburger stand and get a hamburger now and then, so on. But God bless them. They love the Lord. I know the Bible says every creature of God is good for food, nothing be refused. If it be received with thanksgiving, it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. But if somebody don't know that and love Jesus, I'm for him. Then it says some people keep one day and some keep another. Yes, sir. All right, go ahead. I had a letter this today from a woman said, "Oh, I've been to Santa Claus. I saw a picture of a little pen of Santa Claus on it, and that's idolatry and so and so." Well, if somebody don't believe in having Christmas, okay, I do believe I'm preaching on the wise men from the east and the shepherds and the hillside and the angels in the sky and a baby born in a manger because of the aluminum. I like Christmas for that. If you don't like that, you preach that some other time, but I just heard you preach the gospel. See that? Yes, sir. All right, you're going to have everybody believe alike. Somebody said to me, "Brother Rice, when you get all the people agreeing together, then you can have revival." No, then you got the millennium, my brother, singing about now. Well, what are you going to do? You want to love Christians, get people saved, put soul winning first, and get along. As Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, let's go as far as you can go on the right road. Is that right? If it's the wrong road, then get off of it. But as long as from the right road, and that means the blood, and getting people saved, and getting them to start family altar, and getting them to win their loved ones, and get them to have a Bible kind of church, and so on. As long as on the right road, stay with them. Is that all right? Get along with Christians and rejoice. That's what Paul did, and so on. There's some of the things with fellowship. We don't all agree with everything. Sometimes he'd be a hyper-Calvinist, 5-point Calvinist, and he's a hell-raiser sometimes. Saying, oh, that's too bad. When it's doubtful disputations, you can't run with him. But Ian Paisley doesn't do that. Spurgeon didn't do that. He had people saved. I got along pretty well with Spurgeon. I got along pretty well with Paisley. Preached in the church at Belfast. He preached for us at Murfreesboro. Fellows, I'm not for soul winning Christ in the Bible. And don't make fighting this division among Christians. Doesn't get along with him? Why not? Once you make up your mind, I'm going to love everyone Jesus loves. I'm going to get to heaven one day with him. I don't have to apologize to anybody when they get to heaven because I wouldn't speak to him down here.